Welcome back, everyone. This is Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. What's going on, everyone? I am your host, Chandler Wooten, former linebacker, team captain, and NFL vet. And today we're going to switch it up a little bit. Y'all have been showing a crazy amount of love and been receiving quite a few questions. And so I put it on social media to kind of send in some questions today and got a great response in return. And so today we're going to have a Q&A episode. And so just getting into it, whether it's Auburn family, business, favorite player, whatever the case may be, we're going to answer the questions today and try to get as many as we can in. And so we're not going to waste any time and get straight into it. First question being, after recently retiring, when you think about it, who was the best player I played against? And so that one's quite interesting because obviously playing at a place like Auburn, you play so many great players week in and week out. You play with so many great players. And so honestly, it's tough because even coming from where I come from, my senior year, I played against Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Malik Willis all in one season. And so, like, that's the kind of football you play in Georgia, you know what I'm saying? And so coming into a place like Auburn, having to play great players every single week, I think a few things that really stick out or that I remember was obviously that 2019 LSU team. Like playing Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Joe Burrow, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They had multiple tight ends go to the NFL. I still train with one right now. And so the entire offensive line went to the NFL. Like, so they was loaded. And so you talk about probably the most talented, like seeing him physically in person, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson is definitely up there. And then I think one that really surprised me when I was in school, bro, like Tank Dell played at Houston. And like, obviously I knew he was after game planning, you know what I'm saying? He was the main focal point of the game plan. Like he was number three. And so we just called him by his jersey number. I didn't really know who he was for real until we played him. But I remember leaving that game after we played Houston. Like, he went crazy, too. And I went crazy, too, that game. Like, it felt like it was kind of like Tank Dell versus me in a way. And, like, that's just the way I was feeling. I was in such a zone. Like, I went crazy that game. And so, like, it just – we couldn't stop him. And, like, I just remember leaving that game, like, having to look up, like, who is this dude? Like, I had to look him up, like, see his name and stuff, like – come to find out he ended up, I think, getting drafted like third round or so, and obviously still in Houston right now. So I'm excited to see him get healthy and try to produce at the NFL level, just because I know what kind of athlete he is. I know what kind of player he is. And I remember hitting him up after the game like, yo, bro, you a dog. You know what I'm saying? He hit me back like, yeah, you too. Keep going type of stuff. So, yeah, no, I definitely remember playing Tank Dell. And then just one from the NFL, man, it wasn't even a game, bro. It was – when I first got to Carolina, I started my rookie year out in Arizona. And so I was out there for the first 6 weeks of my rookie year. I had a great preseason and I was on the practice squad though to start out my first 6 weeks. And then I got a call to come to Carolina on the active roster. And so I get out to Carolina on the red eye from Arizona because that's across the country. So I get all the way to Carolina and I do my physicals and stuff. And I got to practice that very next day because it was an off day. So like in an NFL, like, you know, they do the transactions to try to kind of match up with the universal NFL off day if they can. And so I got the call from my agent on the off day. Then I got there. And so I did my paperwork and then we had practice the next day. So I get out there off the red eye, hamstrings tight, my feet hurt, my back's tight. And my very first day there, like, obviously, I'm running the scout team stuff. I'm doing my special team stuff. I got to run the scout team. And Chris McCaffrey's over there. And so pretty much the whole day, they just told me to guard Chris McCaffrey one-on-one. And, like, I'm fresh off the red eye. And so that was my welcome to the NFL moment, honestly. That and just the fact that, like, I never seen nothing like that before. Like, to play that kind of talented player, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, nah, that wasn't even a game. But, yeah, Chris McCaffrey was probably the craziest thing I ever experienced. And we just gonna leave it at that, okay? So we gonna move on. Next question being, what was my pregame routine like? And I think that's a great question just because I'm a pretty superstitious person. And so I kind of like to have the same routine week in and week out. And, you know, just even taking it back to college, that's kind of where I built my routine, right? Like just the night before, taking my Epsom salt bath and cold shower to stretch and make sure I roll out. A lot of times I travel with my Normatec boots. Like I used to, like I'm not playing. Like I need to make sure I feel good. And so I just remember like every single Saturday or Sunday, just waking up on game day. And like every player can attest to this. Like when you wake up on game day, you know, a lot of those nagging injuries just ain't nagging like they was. You know what I'm saying? Like you just feel good. And like it's just the energy that shoots up to your bones. And I just always wake up feeling grateful. And so I think just waking up, like going through that routine, I wake up, you know, I brush my teeth, like I'm listening to my gospel music. I never really been like a super rah-rah type of guy, like before games and stuff. Like a lot of times I'm in the pregame huddle, you know, talking to the team and stuff. And like, that's kind of where I get fired up a little bit pregame, especially back in college. But like, aside from that, like I'm not really a guy that's going to be doing a lot of yelling and screaming and stuff during pregame, just because I'm just like so locked in the zone. And so, you know, I get to the stadium and we're going through warmups. I'm locked in, but I'm loose, right? Like I'm not tight. I'm not nervous, anxious. I'm just going through my routine, making sure I feel good, making sure I'm getting warmed up and ready to play, like ready to go. I think for me, I finally flipped that switch when I go back into the locker room after warmups. And that's when I really go into like, it's time to be a dog mode, because that's when I put my music on. And like I said, I'm not listening to a whole lot of rap music. I'm listening to my gospel music, because that's what I've been doing since high school. That put me in my zone. That make me play at the best of my potential. And so I put my music on. I'm not really talking to nobody. And it's just, once we go back out there, it's time to go. And so I think just being like consistent with your routine, finding what works for you. Like a lot of people are superstitious in what they eat. I'm not. I'll eat whatever pretty much pregame, just as long as it's healthy. Like as far as like chicken, some type of vegetable, rice or mashed potatoes, something like that for carbs. But aside from that, that's all I'm really thinking about and focusing on as far as leading up into the game, and just making sure I'm going through, you know, last second adjustments and things like that on the game plan, which I pretty much do the night before, just because game day, I'm not worried about that. Like at this point, the game plan is in. Everything you cross your T's and dotted your I's. And so now it's just time to go play. But the night before, I'll look over my stuff, you know what I'm saying, making sure I'm good with all my checks, all my calls, making sure any surprise situation that may come up, you know, I'm on my game and I'm ready to go. And so I think that's just important, like for players, and making sure you're consistent with your routine, and you're just ready to go when it's time to play. Taking it to the current team that Auburn currently has right now, got a question about who I think or who I expect to break out this season for Auburn. I think about Jared Smith, talk about a guy with a really, really good frame, a lot of athletic ability. You talk about a guy who just began to get his feet wet. Like he hasn't even been an every down player yet. And so I think when you couple in the experience, you couple in more playing time, you couple in him transitioning and growing into being that guy, like I really expect to see a lot of production from him this fall. And so even just the plays he made last year, to see him jumping off the film, jumping off the TV, he just screams like a lot of potential. And so I think tapping into that for another full offseason, going through summer, looking forward to a great fall camp, and then transitioning to what I believe will be a breakout season for him, just because, like I said, he has all the tools and we've seen the flashes. And so I'm just excited to see him put it all together. All right, moving away from football for just a second, because I actually got this question quite a few times. But what were your favorite places to eat while you were in Auburn? And that is a question for me that's impossible to give one answer to. So I'm going to give a few, just because, like, that's one thing we was doing when we was in school. We was going to go get something to eat, just because Auburn has, like, it's so much to eat around there, bro, and, like, so much good food. And so, obviously, starting off with Penny and George's, man, like, that's one of my go-to spots. That was always one of my go-to spots. That was a spot that we used to go to every Thursday, I believe it was. Yeah, because we travel on Fridays. So, every Thursday after practice, you know, it's the shortest practice of the week. And so, we would get out. And we had straight to Panty George's, me and a couple of my teammates, every single Thursday. And that was our thing. And so It was to the point where they already knew what we wanted when we got up in there. And so that's obviously one of my top spots. And then you got Fuji, man, that rice, Fuji Fusakli's, man, it was this wing spot when I was in school called the Grub Spot. I'm not even sure if it's still there anymore, but they had probably the best wings in Auburn. And so I know they done built so much stuff now, even the last couple of years. So I'm sure it's another wing spot and probably done overtook them if they're not there no more. So, but it was called the Grub Spot. They had some crazy fries. They had some barbecue lemon pepper wings. Yeah, nah, the Grub Spot. Shout out to the Grub Spot. But even the Taco Mama over there by Sky Bar was good. It's so much food in Auburn, man. Like Sheila C's. Oh man, I went there not too long ago when I was in Auburn, just because I had to stop in there and give me one of those. And my wife used to love to go to Niffer's, and they got some crazy drinks over there too. I wasn't over there till I was 21 though. So, but yeah, Niffer's, shout out to Niffer's. So, yeah, man, it's just so much good food. Like we used to love going into the little mall over there. They got some crazy Chinese food in there. Yeah, it's just so much good food over there, man. So I was never, unless it was a summertime and it was ghost town, but I was never too hungry when I was in Auburn just because it was always something to eat. Continuing the transition outside of football, I got a question about my favorite thing about fatherhood. And this is probably my favorite question just because this is personal to me just because I got two boys. I got a baby girl on the way. And like even just taking it back to Auburn, I remember when Chance was not even one and he was running around the facility and crawling around the facility, and then he learned how to walk, and then he was running around the facility. But yeah, man, like he used to come to practice pretty much every day my senior year, him and my wife, and they would come and watch and just be around. And so that was awesome, like to have him there to build those kind of memories, and for my boys to be able to watch me play, you know, and even just outside of football, man, like to be able to pour into how I see, like they are the human version of my heart outside of my body. And so like just to be able to be there for them, love them, protect them, provide for them, like there's no greater feeling in the world. And so I'm excited about baby girl being here at the end of August, and that's it for me. I think we three and done. And so I'm grateful, man. I'm blessed to have two beautiful boys, a beautiful baby girl on the way. And it's just so much love, like to be able to, you know, see a miniature version of yourself grow and learn and be able to help them learn and grow. Like that's rewarding to me. And so I just started working out with my son. He's been begging me to work out and to train. And so we're on the journey to train right now. He's five on the way to being six. And so now I'm just focused on building up the next generation and passing on everything that was taught to me. And so I think that's the most important thing about being a father, like leaving a legacy, making sure I build and, you know, put forth great young men into the world, you know, respectful and well-mannered and, you know, just hungry to always want more. And I just want them to be better than I was. And so that's what my father always told me, just wanted me to be better than him. And that's exactly how I want my two sons and my daughter to be better than I was. And so I'm just trying to give them the absolute best. And so, yeah, man, I could talk about fatherhood all day, but it's probably one of my favorite questions. So thanks for asking that. And just as we wind down here, man, just last question, favorite stadium that I have played in. And it's definitely going to be college, because obviously the NFL is the ultimate goal, right? But there is no atmospheres like playing on Saturdays, like just the passion from the fans, like the atmosphere, it's nothing like it. And so obviously there's no greater place for me to play than Jordan-Hare Stadium. I mean, you talk about the best fans in the country and the most passionate fans, like they love their team. And so that's why we love playing at home so much, man, because it's like no matter what our record may be, what the situation may be, like they're going to show up. And so, you know, every single Saturday when we pop out there, it's going to be a movie. And so I used to just always love playing at home, man. Like there's no better place to play than Jordan-Hare Stadium. But if I had to choose a couple away stadiums or visitors. It was definitely crazy going to Penn State for that whiteout game in 21. That was a crazy atmosphere. I remember being at Clemson my freshman year. I think the year they was fresh off a national championship, either that or they lost the national championship and won it that season. But yeah, Clemson was crazy. You go to Death Valley, and I went there as a recruit a couple times because I was heavily leaning towards Clemson at a point in time in my recruitment. And so, yeah, Death Valley is crazy. And the other Death Valley, the real Death Valley, LSU, though, is the probably craziest place to play in college football outside of Auburn to me, just because, yeah, especially at nighttime, like, it get crazy. The fans crazy. It's super loud. It's probably the most deafening stadium I've been in. I'll never forget being on the sideline for one of them years we played there. And, yeah, like, my ears started hurting. That's the only time I ever probably, like, felt pain in my ears from something being so loud. And that was at LSU. And so you talk about the loudest stadium, craziest place to play, definitely LSU. And so those probably be my top stadiums that I played in as far as, like, loudness. Penn State, LSU, you could throw Texas A&M up there as well sometimes. But yeah, those probably be the craziest places to play. Obviously in the SEC, everybody get rowdy. Florida get rowdy, Georgia, whatever the case may be. But those probably be my top. And so, yeah, man, I appreciate you guys tuning in today for this Q&A episode. This is Landing on the Plains. If you like this episode, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And as always, War Eagle.